This is once again the 11th canto, chapter 26, text number 13. To hell with me! I am such a fool that I didn't even know what was good for me, although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent. Although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by women as if I were a bullock or a jackass. Purport. Well, let's repeat this. To hell with me.
To hell with me.
I'm such a fool.
I'm such a fool.
Good to repeat this, isn't it? That I didn't even know what was good for me.
That I didn't even know what was good for me.
Although I arrogantly thought,
I was
highly intelligent.
Although I achieved the exalted position
of a lord,
I allowed myself
to be conquered
by women
as if I were a bullock
or a jackass.
Purport. All the fools of this world consider themselves very wise scholars, even though intoxicated by sense gratification and maddened by their lust for women's association, they become just like bullocks and jackasses. By the mercy of a saintly spiritual master, this lusty propensity can gradually be removed, and one can understand the terrible, contemptible nature of material sense gratification. In this verse, King Pururva is coming to his senses in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Ninitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavano Sute Devi Ramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Rama Rama Hare Hare Swarthasya Kovidam Dhingvam Murkham Panditamaninam Yoham Ishwaratam Prapya Stribir Gokharavajitaha. Sridhar Swami comments, Anutaptasan Atmanam Nindati Dvabhyam. In two verses, beginning with this one, he vilifies himself because he's become remorseful. Anutapta. He's realizing what we've been noticing, we've been describing also in the last several days, that he just didn't seem to give up at any point his infatuation with Urvashi, even though practically speaking, because she was a demigoddess and he was a human being, It was hopeless from the very start. But after all, hope springs eternal, as they say. On the side of the wall, outside the back door, it says, "Hope." Somebody spray painted the word hope. I saw this yesterday. I don't know who did this or what it meant to them. But in this world, because we have a very strong desire, it's not really reason, it's more desire than reason. We have such a strong desire to exploit the resources of material nature. What is that strong desire also called? Envy. Just like Jarasandha, 17 times, not once, not twice, not even three times, 17 times, his army was completely slaughtered, he was humiliated, and sent back home by Lord Krishna. Still, he didn't give up. In a similar way, we've seen this King Pururava so taken by Urvashi. I mean, it's natural in one sense. If any of us, gentlemen, saw Urvashi, you can understand what would happen. So, after all, Bhagavatam says, women are like fire, and men are like butter. They don't have a chance. So Pururava, because Urvashi was after all from Swarga Loka, where they're famously beautiful, he didn't have any more chance than a stick of butter in hell, so to speak. But so he didn't give it up. But now, finally, after how many kalpas, he's gone to the heavenly planet, he's done yajnas, so many things he's done, if you remember his story. He did long tapas, and he did sacrifices, and he prayed, and he intensely meditated on Urvashi. This man was determined. Admirable determination, in one sense, we can say. But now he's finally waking up, as the purport points out for us. So all the fools of the world consider themselves very wise, and he didn't think anything of this. He didn't notice any discrepancy in his character, just like we don't notice any discrepancy in ourselves as well, until some merciful Vaishnava comes along and somehow or other points it out to us. That's exactly why we keep association with devotees. That is the reason. Because you don't see how it creeps up on you. Okay, so he arrogantly thought that he was highly intelligent, and after all, he was, in some sense. Yoham Ishwaratam Prapya. What does that mean? I had achieved Ishwaratva, lordliness. One commentator glosses this. Ishwaratam means Rajarajatam, to be the king of kings. He was big, bigger than any of these demons running around the planet trying to exploit, as we see in China or in Russia or in the United States. He was much bigger than these people. Okay, so swarthasya, in his own best interest. What exactly does that mean, swarthasya? Swartha, swa-artha, your own purpose. Swartha. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnum. They don't know that the real swartha, the real self-interest, is Vishnu. So one of Sridhar Swami's commentators says this means atma-tattvasya. Swartha means atma-tattva. Vijayadwaj Tirtha of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, he takes it in a same thing he says in different words. Swartha Vishaye, that's different actually. So Swartha means to mukti, someone said mukti kama, mukti hetu. somebody whose aim is mukti. This is actually svartha. So this is what it means. And then he says, a kovidam. What does kovid mean? Kovid. A learned person is sometimes called a kovid. What does it mean? Kaha vid. Vid means to know, and kaha means somebody, anybody. Or kaha can mean something also. So he knows something. Kovid. He knows something. He doesn't know everything, but he knows something. You have to recognize when somebody knows something. You have to acknowledge that. So, but he was akovidam. He didn't know anything about his real self-interest. He didn't know anything about it. There are too many people like this. We just have to make sure we're not among them. So here he says, digmam, fie on me, to hell with me. This is the exact same words that were used by the Yajnik Brahmins after Krishna and Balaram came and begged from them, and they refused. But their wives gave something to Krishna and Balaram because their wives were in love with Krishna and Balaram. So the Brahmins said, to hell with our so-called being pundits, our big birth as Brahmins, our stupid yajnas that we're doing. What is the point? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has personally come and asked us for something to eat, and we're trying to put it into the fire instead so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can eat it. So this is called Murkham Pandita Maninam. Murkham, he's a fool. But Pandita Manina, Pandita Mani, he thinks he's very, very smart, very intelligent. All right, so Yoham Ishwaratam Prapya, although I came to the position of the king of the world, and the king of other kings, as we heard from one Acharya, so still, Stribhir Gokharavad Jita, I was conquered by woman in just the way of, in the manner of a cow or an ass. These two words are often used together. And we heard another verse that uses these words, Gokhara. Gokhara civilization, Srila Prabhupada used to say. A civilization where people are no better than cows or asses. In fact, people are worse than cows and asses because cows and asses don't destroy the planet like we do. So Gokhara. So Gauriva means Vrishabha, bull, actually, in this case. Satata. Dhavati api gam anudhavati. He says, just like a bull, even though the cow is running away from him, the bull is chasing after the cow. What is the bull's intention when he's chasing after a cow running away from him? You all understand. In this way, jitta. Jitta means vashikrita, subjugated, subjugated. Although it says here he's subjugated by women, it has to be understood. There's nothing wrong with women. Srila Prabhupada said, there's nothing wrong with women, there's nothing wrong with men. The combination of women and men, that's very wrong. This is the problem. So it wasn't exactly the women who conquered him, it was his hell-bent determination to get this particular woman and try and exploit her. This was his dogged determination, as we've been describing. Dogged determination. Like a dog. The dog's also the same. You see them fighting and so many things. So, one god brother told me he was unfortunate. Many years ago, his wife left him. So he had to sit down and think about it for some time. And he said he was sitting on the bank of the Yamuna and he was reflecting on his life. And then when he was there, some cows came up. You know, we always At least we used to see cows wandering in Vrindavan. People are stealing them now. Hindus are stealing them now. Why? So they can sell them to the Muslims, who will sell them to the slaughterhouses. Somebody came by the Krishna Balaram Goshala with a truck that had a crane in the back. They wrapped some thing around the cow, attached it to the crane, hooked it on the crane, lifted up the cow, put the cow in the truck, this is in the middle of the night, and drove away. How bold they're getting in India. It's been going on for years, and people don't seem to notice, except for the Western press. They notice. And they say that, why are all these cow vigilante groups going and harassing people who are eating meat? Well, this is the reason. But I don't want to get too much into social activism here, or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, so this god brother was sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, and he saw that there was a cow there, and the bull is coming also. Not cow, sorry. This is Gokhara, but we've already heard in the previous verse. What did he say? Just like a she-ass, it's been described. Kara. You know, so Kara. Not cow, it was a donkey, actually. Male donkey, she-ass, he-ass. You can say. So he was a same thing. Animal means this thing. Sex desire really means animal. Mirga Trishna usko bolte hai na? Hindi mein. So, animal thirst. So this donkey came and approached the she-ass from behind. And she was not interested. They generally aren't interested. It's always men. Always men. Rapes. You don't hear about women rapists. It's men. The problem is in the heart. Anyway, so, Hridroga Kama, as Bhagavatam says. This is the real heart disease, Kama. So he approached this donkey from behind. He's watching this happen. He's just gone through a painful divorce. He's quite traumatized by it. And he sees, as soon as this donkey tries to mount the she-ass, immediately she kicks him hard right in the face. Bam! And he tumbled back a few feet, and he shook his head, and he kind of had to walk around in a few circles. It doesn't end there. Then he thought, okay, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. And then he came back again, this donkey. And again, bam! Right in the face. Can you imagine how much that must hurt? A third time he comes back, bam! Bam, bam, bam! Time and time again. This is what it means to be asked. Therefore it says here, Gokharavat Jitta. I was conquered in the same way. So, Vashikrita means under the influence of, under the control of. Sometimes even in this regard, they sell in India the tantrics. Vashikaran mantra. If you're such a loser that nobody loves you, then you can go buy a Vashikaran mantra from some tantric, and then you can control someone. That's heavy karma. It's very heavy karma to interfere like that. You have to pay for it. Not only with your money to the tantric has to pay, you have to pay, she has to pay, everybody pays. Very heavy karma. Don't even think about it. But here, Vashikrita means he was himself conquered by his own sinful desires. his own material desires. And of course, it's not surprising. This thing is tormenting even demigods. Whom? What about Soma? We mentioned the other day. Soma. But he ran after, he stole the wife of Brihaspati. So even among the gods, everybody has a problem, or everyone struggle for existence. This is the point. Okay, so svartha vishaye akovidam svaprayojana patava rahitam ityartha Vijayadvaj Tirtha says. He doesn't know his own goal. Prayojana. We all know this word, right? Sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. What is our prayojana? Sambandha means to understand how things work and what the relationship is. Abhideya means the process of awakening our consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And prayojana means? The goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of these two other aspects. That's right. So goal, yeah, we can say it means goal, and another acharya has already said goal. None of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas really comment on this verse, so that's why I'm quoting from others. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says something very interesting about this. He says, he says something in the voice of this Purudavas. Matulyasyanyasyapi vidyadikam sarvam vyartham ityaha. Purudava is realizing now that all these things that I've had, what are some of the things that he's mentioned already? We heard vidya, tapasya, tyaga, shruta, vivikta, mauna. What do these things mean? Vidya. Anybody know? Knowledge is the general word. Viragavacharya means, it means viveka, discrimination. And one acharya of the Pushti Marg says it means deity worship, not surprisingly. So that's vidya. Vidya can sometimes mean confidential knowledge that you have to be initiated into. Sometimes mantras are also called vidya. But it also means knowledge, for sure. Tapasya. Viragavacharya says about tapasya, that means, in this context at least, to do your own duty. Swadharma. Very important thing. And tyaga, he says, means to give in charity. To give something up means to give it away. Not that anything goes under the so-called rubric of yukta vairagya. No, you give it up. You give it away. That's Viragavacharya's opinion. Shruta. Shruta means study, somebody said. And another one says abhyas. Or another one says hearing. This is shruta. Vivikta means everyone agrees on this. Ekanta seva. Ekanta seva means to render devotional service, to do your bhajan, away from mundane association, in a secluded place. And mona? Mona. We don't really practice mona in the modern day and age. It used to be very common in India. I don't see it so much anymore. Mona. What does mona mean? Say one day out of the week, you decide that I'm not going to speak to anybody. So you just keep quiet that day. It's a very, very beneficial exercise. People used to do this. Srila Prabhupada, of course, kind of tweaked that definition. He says, real mona means you don't say anything except Krishna Katha. But that's also not so easy to do, if you really do it. We say like this, but do we do like this? So, that's mona. Vang niyama, Sridhar Swami says. Vang niyama, to control your voice, what you say, what you exclaim, all these things. So vidya, tapasya, tyaga, shruta, vivikta, mona, all these things, and other things, they don't really help. This has been pointed out by Srila Rupa Goswami in a very beautiful verse from Padyavali. Verse number 11, he says, Kashayan nacha bhojanadi niyaman novava nevasato vyakhyanat athava munivratabharat chittodbhavakshiyate kintu sphita kalinda shailatana yatireshu vikridato govindasya padaravinda bhajanarambhasya deshan abhi. It is not, you cannot lessen sex desire. You cannot diminish this thing just by kashaya. What does kashaya mean? Kashaya, yeah, in Hindi, kashaya means the saffron cloth. Not just by putting on saffron cloth, but kashaya means other things also. Anybody know about Ayurveda here? Kashaya is a particular astringent that you can eat. An astringent taste, that is said to diminish lust. At least for men it does this. Or eating astringent foodstuffs is also very good, it's said, for the same reason. But whether you take it in any of these three ways, kashaya alone is not enough, because the problem is in here. Just like we discussed, sthribhijitaha, he's conquered by the women, but it's not actually the women that are conquering him, it's something in his own heart. Therefore it's called here, chittodbhava, that thing which has arisen out of your own heart. Atmabhu, we heard this word, I think, yesterday. One of these verses in this passage I was reading uses the word atmabhu, meaning things which are arising out of your own heart. Okay, so that's one thing that doesn't work. Bhojanadi niyama. If you very strictly control your eating, I know about this. I have a very strict diet I followed for 10 years or so. Only at certain times, only certain things. Everything is very, very conditional. And it's very helpful for certain things, like health. But just by doing that, or brahmacharis, just like sometimes we see brahmacharis, they only eat, you know, certain things. Certainly they don't eat at night. That's not a good idea if you want to practice brahmacharya. But still, controlling your diet alone is not enough. Vane vasata. Neither is it enough to live in the forest. Vyakhyanat. It's not enough to become a big preacher. It's not enough to have to absorb so many explanations of what the Vedic literatures mean. That also is not enough. And munivratabharat, even to bear the burden, as the word is used, bhara means burden, even to hold the burden of the vows of a muni, brahmacharya in particular, this is what it means. That's also not enough to lessen what is chittodbhava, what has arisen out of your own heart. Param kintu, the word is used. Spita kalinda shailatanaya tireshu vikridito govindasya padaravinda bhajana. From even just beginning the devotional service or the bhajan of the lotus feet of Govinda, who plays upon the banks of the wide banks of the daughter of Kalinda Shaila. Who is Kalinda Shaila? Mount Kalinda. Yamuna is actually, they say like this, she was the daughter of Mount Kalinda, because in the Himalayas where the Yamuna appears in this world, that Mount Kalinda is there. And she's Yamunotri. This is called Kalinda Shaila. Therefore she's called Kalinda Shaila Taneya. She's also considered to be the daughter of the sun. Her real father is the sun. That's why she's called Yamuna. Yamuna actually is a corruption. Even though it's become assimilated in Sanskrit, it actually means Yama Anuja. What does Yama Anuja mean? Anuja, not Anuja, Anuja. Anuja means the younger sister of whom? Yama. When you go to Mathura, Vishranti Ghat, you'll see there's a very cute little temple. Yama Yami. Yama and his sister, boy and girl. There are many stories about that. We don't have time. So when you just begin the devotion, leshadati, even just a slight trace of beginning neophyte devotional service to the lotus feet of Govinda, who plays upon the bank of the Yamuna, then this thing is taken care of, chatse. No problem. You see? Devotees know this. In other words, it's the same point that we've heard in the fourth canto. Sroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. So many munis, yogis, we've heard the stories. They try to control their senses, but they cannot. They fail. But if a person seriously tries to worship Krishna, even he's not absolutely mature yet, but he has to be serious, that person can control very easily. We see, frankly, those persons who are very strictly following the regulative principles, including reading Srila Prabhupada's books every single day, those persons, they don't have the same problems that visit themselves upon others who don't. They don't. Krishna consciousness is scientific. If you follow the process very strictly, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, you will get the result. We're not getting the result only because we don't follow. Hayagriva, Prabhupada's disciple, he's no more in this world. He used to have problems, and one day he came to Srila Prabhupada. He told Srila Prabhupada, "I'm having problems with lust." And Prabhupada said, "That's no problem, then just chant Hare Krishna." Is everyone satisfied with that instruction? So Hayagriva also was not satisfied with that instruction. He said, "But Srila Prabhupada, I am chanting Hare Krishna still." And Prabhupada thundered back at him, "No!" He said, "When you have this problem, you don't chant, and that is your problem." This is what it means to be serious. We're not really serious. It's like Govinda Maharaj used to say, we're holding on to a tree with all our might, saying, "Please let me go." So, what else? Yeah, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I was going to say. Matulyasyanya syapi vidyadikam sarvam sadhanam. This is the point. All these means that you might take up, like the six that are mentioned here in this passage, or the several that are mentioned in the verse I just quoted from Padyavali, saravam vyartham. They're all useless. They won't do you a thing if you're not serious about Krishna consciousness. You have to be serious. What did Prabhupada say? If you go through Srila Prabhupada's letters, you should comb through Srila Prabhupada's letters looking for ways that to advance in Krishna consciousness. And if you do this, which I recommend, because his books are ultimately the most authoritative, because they're giving absolute instructions that are applicable in all times, places, and circumstances. But we can see very clearly and very quickly how to apply, or at least how Srila Prabhupada applied Krishna consciousness in concrete times, places, and circumstances through his letters. And his conversations also very helpful. So if we go through Srila Prabhupada's letters like this, seriously, we'll find that there are two adjectives that come up again and again and again and again and again. They are sincere and serious. He said you just have to be sincere and serious, and then Krishna will give you all help. This is a great topic. It's described in the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, last two verses in particular. Krishna will supply everything. He is 100% responsive, 100%. He's not responsive sometimes. He's always responsive. But he's also reciprocal. This is the problem. Because it depends on what we want. In love, equality is there. Even though he's so great and we're so small, but because this is love, we're actually equal in his mind. The devotees are only concerned about Krishna, and Krishna is only concerned about the devotees. That's why he always puts his devotees first. So what the devotee wants is Krishna's main concern. It's his only concern, in fact. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He has no other kaj, no other responsibility. His only program is to make sure that the devotee gets what the devotee wants. So what do you want? What do you really want? What are you here for? What is it that you want? You have to know this. A problem well stated is a problem half solved. Or as the psychologists say, self-awareness is the first principle of any therapy. You have to be aware. We discussed this the other night in the darshan room. Awareness is the primary characteristic of the sattva guna, which is the stepping stone into Krishna consciousness. And I quoted Tamal Krishna Goswami, who used to say, before you can become Krishna conscious, you have to first become conscious. That is sattva guna. So, this is the idea. If we know what we want, and if we really want what we know we want, then Krishna is immediately there. Immediately. That's why this verse says, Leshadapi Arampasya. For somebody who even begins this process, even a little bit, oh, this thing is taken care of. Ho gya. There's no problem. But what do we really want? This is the thing. We've got a foot in each world. This is the thing. I mean, you can't avoid that in some respects. Krishna consciousness means living in two worlds at the same time. You have to balance them. It's true. But we don't have to balance what our heart is aspiring for. We don't have to balance our swartha. Our swartha is only in one world, not in both worlds. This is the point. So, svarthasya kovidam. He's unaware. Dhingma mukham panditamanyam. Yoham Ishwaratam Prapya. Although I became the king of all kings, Sirpi, Sripir, Gokaravajita, I was conquered. Just like an ordinary cow or an ass. This god brother I mentioned sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, by the way, he's now a very well known sannyasi in ISKCON. He took it in. So, serious and sincere. As one disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and said, how do we become sincere? Anybody know what did Prabhupada answer? How do we become sincere? What did Prabhupada say?
By being sincere.
By being sincere. This is exactly the answer. You have sincerity for something, but where are you investing it? Purudava was very sincere, obviously sincere. We've talked already about his determination. He was very, very sincere about Urvashi. Did she appreciate his sincerity? Maybe, but not enough to come back. You lose in this world everything. You lose. You end up a loser. We've discussed that already. Ayur harati vai pungsa. Everything is taken away. from somebody who squanders time, from somebody who's mental and goes this way and then comes back this way again. And for the doubting soul, Krishna says, there's no possibility of happiness. So Krishna consciousness therefore means vyavasayatmikaputti, to fix the mind, very focused. Focus the mind. And we can advance like this if we're just serious and sincere. So sincere, we've described. Serious, what does it mean to be serious? To follow. Guru mukha padma bhakko chitete koriyaiko arana korihwani asha. Whatever the spiritual master has said. Particularly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has actually, by the way, written a Sanskrit commentary on this song. Bengali song, we think, oh, folk song, bhajan, okay. But it's so serious subject matter that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who said that Narottam Das Thakur's writings are as important as Vedic mantras, he wrote a Sanskrit commentary on a Bengali song. And he says that this means that when the spiritual master's instructions to hear and chant about Krishna, to surrender your life to Krishna, how to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, all the regulative principles, adi, adi, adi. This is what it means. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya. Whatever the spiritual master orders means these things. So somebody has to take those orders. He has to take them through his ears and into his heart and hold them there very tightly. And not look at anything else. Arana kori homani asha. Without even considering anything else. Sri Guru Charane Rati Eishe Uttamagati Je Prasade Pure Sharva Asha. If a person has this kind of taste or love for the lotus feet of the spiritual master, automatically everything is accomplished. Everything is fulfilled. Je Prasade Pure Sarva Asha. Alright. I could say some other things, I suppose. There's another verse we could also talk about, but that's maybe for someone else to discuss. I should stop here. Does anybody have any questions or any comments on any of this? Yes.
You were speaking about yaga and yukta vairagya. Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
Did I speak about tyaga and yukta vairagya? Yeah, I did speak about that. Well, tyaga is defined in different ways in different contexts. I indicated that also. Arjuna therefore asks this question in the beginning six verses of chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know that passage offhand? I doubt it. We're not taking the austerity of reading for an hour every day. But he wants to know the difference between tyaga and sannyas, renunciation and the renounced order of life. And there Krishna talks about it. He says different things. But in general, tyaga is the broadest definition of tyaga is to give something up, to abandon something, chorna. So, when we engage in Krishna's service, we have to give up the fruits of those endeavors. This is the point. Very crucial point. Crucial is not the right word. Pivotal point. Why pivotal? It can go one way or the other depending on how we do this. If we don't fully in our hearts give up the results of things that we offer to Krishna, then we will remain entangled in the material world. So vairagya to vairagya hona padega. It has to really be vairagya. Someone made a joke about this. In Krishna consciousness, we have Vidya and Vairagya. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So we have knowledge and we have Vairagya. In the material world, they have ignorance and Vyagra. So this is kind of on topic. But the point is that we have to really give things up. We have to really give things up. And it's actually an invisible process, if in case you haven't noticed. We talk about brahmacharis who drink water underwater on a fast day. When you take your bath in a sacred river, you have to dip at least three times. And they say that when the brahmacharis, who are cheaters, when they go under the water, they take a big gulp of water and swallow it before they come up. So drinking water underwater on a fast day. So this can be done under the rubric of yukta vairagya. Now, what does yukta vairagya actually mean? There are two kinds of vairagya as well. One is yukta vairagya, means appropriate renunciation. The other one is halgu vairagya, which means cheap renunciation, weak renunciation. Halgu vairagya means to either not give something up fully, or to just give something up that could be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And all of our acharyas assert very strongly that in the bhakti line, it's not good enough to just give things up and forget about them, because the whole world belongs to Krishna, sarvam kalu idam brahma. And that the whole world can and should be used in Krishna's... Why should Maya have all the toys? Devotees should take all the material energy and employ it in Krishna's service, but it has to be in Krishna's service, not their own service. So that's real renunciation. But nobody really knows if you're putting something south in your heart. Nobody will ever know. Well, eventually they'll know, because the symptoms will manifest. Just like Usha and Aniruddha in Dwarka. Anybody remember that story? Aniruddha was actually staying in Usha's private quarters, and no men were allowed, but he was there. And eventually, it said, the guards could see signs that Usha was having conjugal enjoyment. So it shows after some time, you see. But, you know, on the face of it, it would, you know, nobody can tell who's following the regulative principles and who isn't. Nobody can tell whether you're taking this prasadam because you want to enjoy your tongue or because you appreciate the fact that it was offered to Krishna. Nobody will know. You like pizza? Oh, very nice. We can offer it. You see? So in the name of yukta vairagya, sometimes this goes on. Not sometimes, actually. In the beginning, at least, most of the time, this is what it is. Because we're immature. The hearts are still infected. We're immature. But actual renunciation means to give something to Krishna and let Krishna keep it. You see? It's a big topic, but these are a few comments. You asked for some comments. Is that sufficient? Okay. Anything else? No questions? And the audience is thin, and it's late, so we'll stop now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai.